Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio. My name is Tom Tutall Cunningham, and I'm a motivational speaker helping people to live positively with and through the many and varied challenges life has to offer. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 45 years now, and in that time I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced, and I've been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1". And that's due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I took to fight my arthritis. Despite those physical challenges, anyone who knows me knows I always answer amazing when asked how I'm doing. I tell people 80% of the time it's true, and the other 20% of the time it's to remind myself that it's true. Find out more about me at my website. It's Tom, the number 2, and Tall, TALL.com. My guest today is Jean Kuhn. I met Jean at the Think and Grow Rich Summit in Del Mar, California in 2013. She has been self-employed since April 29th, 1985. Let me calculate in my head, 15, 25, 27 years. And that was the day her first child was born, and she knew she was never going back to a J-O-B job. She lives in Naperville, Illinois. Been married to her first husband, Bruce, for over 33 years, and they have 3 adult children. In the last 11 years, Jean has purchased 2 failing franchises and turned them into cash-generating machines in less than 12 months. She's been coaching others for the past 28 years, and formally in 2006, she started her own coaching business, helping her fellow franchisees and other small business owners, coaching them to success by putting more money in their pockets and more time on their calendars. And she can help you as well. Her first book, published in 2012, funny title, F-Ups, Franchise Screw-Ups That Can Cost You Thousands. Her second book, F It, The 30-Day Fix-It Workshop for Small Business Owners Not Making Enough Money, and is working on her third book, Effing Deans, How to Become a Fascinating Dean. She speaks to small business owners all over, helping them to take their business from frustrating to fun so that they make more money, have more time, and sleep peacefully at night. If she wasn't speaking, writing, coaching, and running 2 franchises, she would take a nap. Welcome to the show, Jean.
Hi, Tom. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, amazing. Thank you so much for joining me. Jean, I've often wondered and talked to other people about the franchise business, and to me it always felt like you were purchasing yourself a job. But you're helping franchisees to not actually purchase a job, to put more of that time on their calendar for themselves, which is kind of one of the big reasons to be in business for yourself, but also putting those extra dollars in their pocket as well. How did you come upon this purpose or vision for what you're doing with small businesses?
Well, it actually happened to me really quite young in life, about 25, 6 years ago. I had been in direct sales or home party sales at the time when my first child was born, so I could stay home with him. And but I knew I needed more. I didn't know anything. I was 25 years old, 26 years old. I didn't know anything. So I happened to see that Zig Ziglar was coming to Chicago. And I went all by myself out to see Zig Ziglar, didn't know what he was, but for some reason I don't even know how I showed up there. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I remember that was the one big takeaway for me, was that you can have everything you want in life if you just help enough other people get what they want. And while I was building a multi-level marketing or direct sales team at that point, that really resonated with me, and I knew that if I helped my team, I would get what I wanted. I firmly, when he said it, I believed it from the very moment he said it, and I just started basically building my team and putting more time toward my team than I was my own personal sales. And I will tell you that he was 100% right.
Wow.
I've never wanted for anything as I've helped other small business owners with theirs. So when I say I've been coaching for 20-some-plus years, I started out coaching my own team to success because I knew that if they were successful, there's no way I couldn't be successful.
Right, and it's something even in the last 2-3 years that I've put at the forefront when I meet someone, automatically think, how can I help them in
right.
some way? And you don't have to be an MBA, you don't have to be anything, the world's greatest athlete, nothing. If you go into every relationship that you, everyone you encounter with the idea of how can I serve them, could be a little way, could
right.
be a tiny way, but how can I help people? It's human nature for people to want to pay back people who help them. But if you do it for that reason that people pay you back, the law, universal law doesn't work. But if
right.
that's how you set your heart on it, man, that principle is you can generate an ROI on that principle. You can't
mm-hmm.
measure it mathematically, but the more you help other people, the more opportunity people and money come your way. And so you learn that very young, and you, as you said, right from the minute Zig said it, and he says it a lot, you understood it, and you believed it, and you practiced it. And no matter what business you're in, if you are always looking to help other people, you're going to have a lot of people helping you in return.
Exactly.
Now, how about, how did you get into franchising? Because you started with direct sales. And if you even what you talked about, oh, first of all, in direct sales, that's an amazing idea. I've been told many times not to, and I've heard other people say that, no, you concentrate on your own personal sales. You don't give them to downline or to other people. And yet you did that, and I'm sure, boy, people who are working in direct sales, if you get that given to you, you really know that the person has your best interest in mind, don't they?
Well, I wasn't really giving them sales. What I was doing was helping them get their own sales and really spent a lot of time developing them in whatever I was doing. I was telling them what I was doing. I was in constant contact with my team, and long before teleconferences and long before any sort of technology like we have today, I was in constant phone conversations and having meetings and holding my own little mini conventions with them just to build them up. And what was really surprising for me at that point was I did not realize it at the time that I could see when I started with a woman who was just a mom. That's how she looked at herself. I'm just a mom. And see her blossom into a confident, motivated woman who really, it was apparent that they'd never had any sort of acknowledgement for anything great they had done in their lives. And it was, I just felt like I was really moving women forward and moving and helping
wow.
women become who they really were meant to be. So
wow.
that, so it wasn't giving them sales because I don't,
no.
I'm not, you know, I don't encourage that entitlement thing or, you know, I don't think people, I think they have more appreciation for it when they earn it.
Yes, I
and,
think so.
Right.
But you're teaching them basically how to earn those sales. And
right.
and some of those people have, you know, no business background. And so when you share like that, as you said, and see people blossom, that's the joy of coaching people, is
mm-hmm.
seeing them blossom like that. And then also I'm thinking there's a lot of people, moms at home with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kids, however many it could be. And this is kind of an amazing example. Since you had your first one, you decide no more job. And so while you're making all these phone calls, people have to remember, you got kids sleeping
right.
around in school, begging for food, whatever the kids do. And so so many people, when they're young women, maybe they're like, well, I am a housewife. I know you could be a business owner, too. This is the internet world. You could really impact people around the world. And so you started being a home-based business before internet made it a lot easier.
Right. When I first that's really funny that you said that, because when I had my first son, I was working in an office. And right after I had him, I let them know after my maternity leave I was not coming back. And they immediately offered, this is 1985, they immediately offered to put a computer into my house. So I was really one of the very first telecommuters. They put it. They came out. They installed this computer. At that time, we didn't even have a computer in our home.
Wow.
And I had. It was a 5200 baud modem that seriously, I could get him up, bathe him, feed him, start the computer, go to the grocery store, come back, and maybe I was online at that time. So it just took forever to do that. And then I would have to work around, you know, the little power naps that he would might take during the day, or else I stayed up late at night trying to get my work done. So, and that lasted about a year until I found the direct sales company. And then they promised me a trip to Hawaii if I came in and, you know, did a good job. And we never had a honeymoon. We'd been married 5 years at that point, never had a honeymoon. And I really wanted to go to Hawaii.
Nice.
So, and I did. And I earned a trip for my husband in 4 months.
Wow. In four months.
In 4 months. Oh.
In 4 months. Wow. So many people that are at home, is, you know, I'm thinking women now that, you know, and anybody, it's not that difficult to raise kids and run a business at the same time from home, especially now with internet, webinars, phones, email, and all those things. So how did you decide to get in the franchising business? Now, one franchise, I think, is in a chocolate business, isn't it?
Yeah, actually both of them are. I own actually two chocolate franchises.
Oh, wow.
And
when your business is chocolate, that must be nice.
Yeah, and that's so funny because at home at night at 8 o'clock, I'm opening the cabinets and I'm yelling, "Why do we never have any chocolate at the house?" And there's a really good reason that we don't, because at 8 o'clock every night, I would be having chocolate. but I got into it because I had a friend who owned one of these in Naperville, where I live, and she would let me come and play at her house, and she happened to tell at her business, and she happened to mention that there was a store for sale, and she said, "You need to go look at it." And I had been to that town about, I don't know, it seemed like maybe 15, 20 years before, and when I drove through it, I remember thinking, wow, this is really kind of a hellhole. The buildings had been boarded up. There was graffiti on the front of the buildings. I said, you know, I've really been to that town, and I don't think so. And she said, no, you know what? It's been revitalized. You need to go look at it. So I went down there, looked at it, and I thought, wow, they have really done a lot of work in this little small town, and ended up buying that franchise. I had that one for from 2002 until 2006, and then I bought the second one.
Wow. Was it an existing franchise or a new one, that first one?
Yeah, they both were existing. I'm not sure I would buy a new franchise. If you can buy a couple struggling franchises and you have total, if you believe you're too, you know, too dumb to know how to fail, which I never think that I could fail, so I didn't mind buying franchises that were losing money because I was confident that I could turn them around.
Nice. Nice. And there must be many franchises in that shape that they're doing okay, but they sure could use some extra money and time. And so the second one, and so first of all, now you're getting a franchise. You still have kids at home. How do you make that arrangement? Because generally a franchise, you've got to be there, and retail ones, you got to be there a fair bit, I imagine.
Yeah, at that time, my youngest son was about 12 years old, so there was a lot of days that the kids went to work with me, and my all three of my kids at some point had worked in the franchise. My daughter was 12 when we bought it. She's 23 now, and she's actually a registered nurse now, and she works 3 days a week at the hospital, and she still comes and works a couple days at the store for me.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty cool. And when your kids grow up with an entrepreneurial mom like this, where they're coming to work with her, seeing what she does, it almost becomes part of their thinking that, wow, maybe I can be a business person too. It's nice to see, you know, your parents as entrepreneurs. People learn a lot that way. And when they go into a retail establishment where you're working, they see, oh, look how mom treats customers and employees. Mm-hmm. And so that's pretty cool, and that your kids obviously like it because now they're coming back even though they don't really need to.
Well, yeah, she didn't need to. She had not worked for me for about a year, and she just offered at the holiday, she said, "Mom, can you use some help?" And at that time I could, and she said, "I have, you know, 3 or 4 days a week that I'm not working. I'd be happy to, and there's nobody I would really rather have work for me than her."
Yeah,
she has worked with me in different businesses since she was 8 years old.
Wow.
So, yeah, so she, her and I are just, she, you know, she can read my mind. She knows what I like. My boys, on the other hand, not so much. We both have a problem that it's hard to be the mom and the boss. And for them, it was very difficult to take orders from your mom.
So yeah, I worked for my dad as well. So that's an interesting paradigm when you're working for a parent, and that can be a challenge. And so now, what are some of the main steps, a couple of steps, one, two, three steps that you took to turn a failing franchise around? Because I'm sure a lot of people love to hear that.
Well, one is that I worked in the business myself to start with. Probably the first 4 years, I did not take a paycheck out of the business. Everything that we, well, obviously it was losing money, so when we bought it. So what we did, you know, everything that I worked there and invested everything that was brought in back into the business, basically in marketing and advertising.
Okay.
And that was step number one. Step number two was then realizing that I could not grow my business while I was working in my business. That's such a huge part that entrepreneurs or small business owners think that they have to do everything. And like you said at the beginning, they're buying a job. And that really, you're absolutely right. For a lot of small businesses, they buy this and now they've got a job.
Mm-hmm. And so, a retail job where there are lots of hours.
Oh, my gosh. That was the biggest surprise for me, because even though I was in 12, my early 40s at that point, I had never worked retail. Even from when I was a kid, I never worked retail. So that was a huge surprise for me come Christmas. So,
yes, no time off.
No time off, and not until after the holidays. And I realized very quickly that I did not want to spend all of my Christmases like that.
Yeah. Nice. And so what were some of the things that you did besides promoting and marketing? And now not everyone is going to be able to work for no money, and that's a big challenge for people too.
You're absolutely right. But sometimes, you know, as small business owners, and they just don't have the money. So
yeah.
I could invest everything I was back into that. But I also needed to hire some employees. And I know quite a few small business owners who are working 12 hours a day with no employees, 7 days a week, 6 days a week. And that is just such a recipe for burnout, and I did not want to be burned out like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So then if for somebody who is doing that, and like you said, or what should they do, they really need to learn how to market their business really quick and really effectively so you can start bringing more people in the door, giving them a reason to spend more money, and then you can start hiring people. And
now, what are some of the ways you can do that? How can you promote and market your business? Assume it's a retail business in a city. So, you know, if you're marketing in another state or whatever, not so valuable. But what do you do if you're a franchisee to truly market your business so that people are coming in the door and ringing your phone?
Well, one thing I did was I started things that store had never had. To be honest, I'm not above breaking some of the rules and waiting for that slap on the hand to tell me I can't instead of asking for permission. So one of the things I did right away is I made cute little signs and put them on an A-frame. To be honest, I didn't know at the time I couldn't do that in the village that my store was in. Put them out right on the sidewalk. People had to walk past there. I got tons of people in the door right off the bat. From that, the village then actually changed their sign laws so that more small businesses could do that. So just basically putting it out in front of people. I'm very into email marketing. I started with Constant Contact several, 8, 10 years ago, and have been doing pretty much a monthly, almost every month, newsletter for my customers. Tell them what's in the store. And the one thing I do with that, too, is I let them know who I am. I bring myself down to a very personal level with them. It's not just about here's our weekly special or our monthly special and here's a coupon. I tell them about when my daughter went away to college. I put her picture in there. These people had been seeing her all along. So here's, you know, here's Jacqueline. She's gone away to school now, and now here's Jacqueline. She's come back, and, you know, make sure you stop in and say, Jacqueline's going to be back in the store. Or when I'm going to be working in the store now, I always put it in there. Hey, I'll be in the store for Valentine's Day. Come on in and see me. Or, you know, I haven't seen you for a long time. And I'm so surprised how many people, I'll get so many responses back from that, because they know on a different level that I'm forming relationships with those people. And that's really, yeah, and I have one woman, I've never met her. She emails me when she gets my newsletter, just checking in, and she'll say, you know, how's your daughter doing? Or, you know, I just want to let you know my daughter just got her RN. And, you know, so it's, I get these stories back from people who feel that connection with me, and that's really what that's all
powerful,
about for marketing.
Isn't it? Because I get that, I get that as well. And you're making, you have a big smile on my face because my wife admires and laughs at how loyal I am to a business where they share their story and who they are. I buy a lot of jewelry. I could go to other places. I go to this one store. Asian couple, I know them. They got dogs like ours, and their kids are sometimes in the store. Restaurants, I'll go to ones where, you know, the guy talks about himself. And so my wife is always teasing me, because when I find a family business or a business that shares who they are as people, I feel more inclined to go back. I don't price shop. I'll go out of the way even. I'll spend more even. But I like the people, and so I'm always like, sweetie, you got to support the small business guy, and these people are nice. And she's like, oh, okay, all right, we'll go there.
Right.
No box stores for me. If I find a store that is, you know, where I get to like the people, I'm going to go in there. And, you know, I'm not really going to shop around. I just will go straight to them. And so you hit the nail on the head there. And the newsletter gives you the opportunity to share those things, so people are like, okay, she's not just trying to sell me more chocolate. As you said, one lady you've never met, she's just on your email list.
I happen to be in one of my stores. I have a store in a mall location, and I don't normally, when I work in the store, I work at the little downtown store, not the mall. So I happened to be in the mall behind the register one day, and a woman walked in, and she was on her cell phone, and she just took a look at me, and she's like, oh, my God, you're Jean. And I'm like, yeah. And now she's talking on the phone, and she's telling the person on the phone, oh, my God, Jean's in the store, Jean's in the store. I'm telling you, I felt a little bit like Oprah at that point. I felt that celebrity status with my customers because of the fact that she was so, I said, I'm so sorry, but I don't remember your name, because I knew I had never met her before. And she said, you don't know me. She said, I'm on your email list. She goes, I see your picture every month. So, but she felt a connection with me. So I think that's really important to let people know, hey, you're a person. You've got, while you don't talk about your problems, you most certainly talk about who you are.
Nice, exactly. And people, once people know who you are, that you're a good person, you're like them, like Zig says, once they know you and like you and trust you, they'll buy from you. So you're telling them with signs where you are, and you're telling them with your email who you are. And so between telling them who you are and where you are, you're getting a lot of people coming through your doors, even though they never even met you.
Exactly.
So that's very powerful. And so now in 2006, you kind of formally decided that, hey, other franchisees have these problems and I can help them. And I'm thinking of a former pastor of mine. He owned a restaurant franchise, and he was telling me, and ended up losing it, that, you know, there are mistakes a franchise can make that cost you thousands and thousands of dollars a month. The franchisor can look at the numbers and tell you, and he had his brother running it. His brother took cash from him. So in 2006, you really started coaching small business and franchisees, and then also now your book, F-Ups, Franchise Screw-Ups. So tell me about working with franchisees and small business owners, because I know that their biggest challenge is that they are putting too much time into their business. And one of the reasons to be self-employed is so that you have more times for the things you choose to do. And then also, if you can figure out ways in a small franchise that you could save thousands of dollars a month or earn thousands of dollars a month, that's a lot of leverage if you can make
right.
those changes.
Well, because I have a chocolate franchise, and we happened to get a group of people together in Chicago, and when the other franchisees around the country started talking about this, they're like, hey, if you guys ever do that again, invite us. So I did. I planned one for 2006 in Chicago, and we had, I think we had about 50 people come from all over the country. So,
wow.
And we just basically were sharing, what are we doing with our marketing? What are we doing with our, we have a lot of freedom with product that we can make. We make a lot of store-made product and things like that. So we were sharing recipes. We were sharing possibly some of us shared advertising costs. Some of us, you know, we shared how we work with our employees. What do we do for incentive programs? What are we doing for promotional programs? What all kind, anything that you can think of that when you're running a business, if you can have almost like a mastermind of...
Exactly. That's what
yes.
I was just thinking. It sounds like a mastermind because they're all with one mind on one mm-hmm. project, even the same business, trying
right.
to make it more efficient and better. So massive mastermind. And then that's where someone in, I don't know your geography well, let's say someone in Minnesota can hear from someone in Florida that they're, you're doing what? That would work amazing. I got to try that.
Right. And
nice.
That's exactly what happens. We don't bring in, for the most part, we don't bring in motivational speakers and things like that. We spend two full days talking about issues that we have in the store and hearing how people in the other parts of the country are dealing with it, or what are they doing, or who are their suppliers? How much are you paying for little cellophane bags? Oh my gosh, you're paying a tenth of the cost that I'm paying. So we're sharing all of our resources. And to be honest, I started this because in our little forum, online forum, there was a lot of franchisees in my franchise that were struggling. And a couple of them had ended up losing their franchise and losing their homes. And I started this for those struggling franchises. But what I really found out was the people who came were not the people who needed to be there. The people who came were the successful stores.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such an eye-opener for me. And then I realized, you know what, that's really the way things work. The people who are struggling, if they're not willing to pull themselves out of that and get their butts to a place that's going to help them, there's a reason for that. They're always
yeah.
they're destined to struggle. There's no saving them. You cannot
yeah.
be saved. You have to save yourself.
Nice.
And you save yourself by getting your butt out and going to some of these events where people want to help you. And to have the top franchisee in the company attend these meetings spoke volumes to me.
Mm, nice, yeah, because those people know that
mm-hmm.
all these little tips can add up and give them more time so that they
right.
can eventually own more franchises.
Right.
Because if they can automate it, process it, get the right people in place, and save those, save that money on bags, and you add up bags in a year, it's like, oh, thank you, that's a
right.
$500 tip. Oh, thank you, that's the $800 tip on how to do that. And
exactly.
so the more you do those things, and the more you're figuring out ways to hire the right people, put the right systems in place, monitor them while you're not there, now you've getting the lifestyle you probably thought you would have when you bought a business.
Exactly. Exactly. As a matter of fact, the top franchisee in the company at our second conference, or second or third, whatever one, the year before she had picked up, and I'll share this little tip with you, that we do, since we can dip things in chocolate, one year we had one store come and they said they were dipping Twinkies in chocolate, putting them on a stick, dipping them in chocolate. This franchisee owns three stores. One of them is the top store in the country. And she went back home. She started dipping Twinkies. She came back the next year and she said, you know what, if I only take away one more tip like the Twinkie one, We made enough money to pay for our entire trip this time to come back the second year or the third year, whatever it was.
Wow.
On chocolate-dipped Twinkies. Right.
Chocolate-dipped Twinkies. And right. you could have run your business forever without ever finding about chocolate-dipped Twinkies.
Exactly.
And now you have me wanting a chocolate-dipped Twinkie.
Okay, I will tell you, they're not very good.
Oh, okay.
The chocolate dries them up, yeah.
They'll have to think, well, I got to try that at least once.
Exactly. And you know what? We sell tons and tons of chocolate-dipped Twinkies. But in my opinion, not the best thing we have in the store, but they're fun. And
yeah,
people
yeah.
love Twinkies, and you put anything you put chocolate on, people are going to love it.
Exactly, so. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So now what about for franchisees? I've always heard, you know, it's cash. This is a cash business, mostly in retail, and you got to be there. You got to be there. There's cash going around. How do you hire the right people and put systems in place so that you don't have to have a camera hiding behind every magazine and every corner and every door and every chair. Is there any secrets to that? Because I think if you got the right people, and then the right people are obviously going to be good employees, I would think that you could at some point trust them enough to be away from the store, that they're not pocketing your money.
Well, over the years, I have had a few employees who steal from me, but I do the paperwork myself, and I balance the drawers, you know, and I don't, what they make, do their, you know, they close the registers at night, they drop their deposits in the safe, and then I balance those at home. So I have noticed, and it's very easy to figure out when you're short every day, you know, and who's working those shifts. It's very easy to figure that out, who's stealing from you. And the first time I always give them a warning. I said, you know, I bet it's that you have been rushing. I said, I know I've caught myself putting a 20 in a 10 spot, but I want to let you know that you were short $10. I said, I always give everybody a freebie first pass. If that usually stops it, and it could have very well been an easy a mistake, because I really have done that myself.
Yes.
So I don't usually have a problem after that. If I have a problem after that, I really start watching that. And then it's the second time's a write-up, and I think I've only let one person go for constantly being short in their register over the last 11 years. But it is I tell people when I hire them, and I deal a lot with young kids. Like, my average employee is probably 18 years old, and they usually start with me when they're about 16. Mm-hmm. And the longest one stayed with me till she was 27, and she just left this last July. So it's easy to I tell them when I hire them, if I have to be here to watch you, I don't need you, because I can most certainly do the job if I'm going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that, you know, that I'm number one, I'm trusting them. And I tell them when I give them a key to my store, you know, I don't just give these out lightly. You have earned this, but, you know, don't take advantage of it. And I tell them what I expect of them.
Nice.
So kids are pretty good about living up to your expectations if you set those expectations high.
Nice. They will.
Some of them are
they not. Will.
Right.
They will, but as you said, some of them not. But mostly they will.
Right.
You set the expectations. You know, you let them know that this is the start of their working career, and if they learn a lot of these things at the start, wherever they go, they're going to have a job. And so if you let them live up to high standards, they will. And I think, you know, that's probably important for franchisees, because otherwise, yeah, you have to be there to watch things so that money is not going through the store. Another thing I learned from some retail people, vandalism, theft. Man, I've heard stories of how people steal stuff, and, man, if they just put their brains to some good use, they could be NASA scientists.
Right.
Do you have any of your systems or tips or ideas on those kind of things? Is there anything you've learned that someone could be like, oh, man, that could just help me a lot?
Well, I do have cameras in my stores. Mostly because my husband is a techno geek and really gets into that sort of thing. But I will tell you that my cameras, for the most part, the kids think that we sit home and watch them on our big screen TV. And that's okay that they think that.
Yeah.
Nothing could be further from the truth. But but the what we our cameras have done is our cameras have done have caught criminals, and whether it been somebody who's passing bad checks around town, we were the ones who had video of this person, and so our cameras, for the most part. I did catch one employee stealing on that. She called to complain about a customer who was in the store, so we were able to access the video, pull it up, and just as after that incident, there she is grabbing a couple caramel apples, leaving the store with them and coming back with slices of pizza. So I had to explain to her that those are not your apples to trade for food.
Right.
That, you know what, you're most certainly welcome to buy them at your employee discount, and then you can trade them for food.
So cameras are a necessity in this thing.
I think they're a necessity for when bad things happen.
Yes, yes. Okay, yeah. Now how about top three tips on how a franchisee can put more time in their calendar for themselves?
Number one is get yourself out of the store, and you do that by hiring people that you can trust, and you know, and not there is a franchise around here who every night they go and they close their register because in 11 or 12 years they have not taught their employees how to close their registers, they're afraid that their employees are going to be stealing from them. That's basically the reason why. So number one, trust people, because for the most part, people are good. And I think the reason we think so many people are not good is because it's so easy to hear about it on the Internet that we never heard about it before. I don't think necessarily that it's more people are dishonest. I think it's easier to hear about it now.
Yes,
but I
want to
believe that most people are good.
Yeah.
So, right, get out of your store. Start working on your store instead of in your store or in your business. So money-making tips are looking for the ways to lower your cost of goods. That's one way. Look at your P&L. Find out ways that you're where are you maybe a little high. Look at your labor costs. Right now, this January for us is very slow. Where I had three people working a shift, you know, just 4 weeks ago, now we're down to one person working a shift. So know where your peak times are. And really adjust those labor costs. You know, you're going to save a ton of money with just knowing where that falls. And really knowing your business. You know, and really, I don't think that you can know your business if you've never really worked in your business. If you bought the business with the intentions of being a business owner and not really putting any time in there, you're not going to know where you need to save the money at.
Right.
How could you?
And I like your first tip about get out of the store.
Right.
Sit at home. Read about retailing. Read what other retailers in your city or the country are doing. Ponder, think, talk to people, go to networking meetings. Work on your business. Work on getting more people through the door. And I think that would be more fun for a lot of business people than actually being physically in the store, because they'll say, well, if I'm in the store, I have a little office at the back, I can do that. No, you're probably not going to do that. You're probably going to be busy all day in the store. So get out of the store, wherever you're going to set up your little office, at home or whatever, but start thinking about what are other successful retailers or we have in Toronto here Consumer Choice Awards. So how does that company win Consumer Choice Award 10 years in a row? I'm going to find out. And those little tips from different businesses in your city or around the country can help you make more money, save more money, and have more time for yourself. But you'll never discover them serving a customer, probably.
I agree 100%, and I would say another tip right along those lines are volunteer. Volunteer. I'm on a business association in the little downtown area, and the my business took a huge leap the year that I became the chairperson. They have these little summer art projects, And the year that I volunteered and stepped up to do that, and I had to actually go business to business to see if people wanted to participate in this summer art project, my business took a huge leap because people got to know me. For the first 5 years, while I sent my check in every month, I never showed up at a meeting. I never did anything. I never volunteered. Nobody knew who I was. But the year that I decided I can get out of my business and now I can start networking, I can start volunteering, that was the year things took off for me.
And if people can tie volunteering to earning more money,
right?
Wow, that's a good tie. Now you're motivated to volunteer, although you should be ahead of time. But, yeah, BNIs, Chambers of Commerce, Board of Trade, they're always looking for volunteers to help them with this or that project. And that gets you talking to other business owners and building relationships with them. And pretty soon you take on something to volunteer that you enjoy doing, and now your business increases. Wow.
Right.
You can't do that from the store.
Nope.
And it's more fun as a lifestyle, volunteering.
Exactly.
And helping out and talking to other business owners.
Right.
Wow, okay. And that all goes along with what you started with, is helping others get what they want before you get what you want.
Right, because you always will get what you want. It's amazing how it happens. I don't even know how it happens, but if you take the focus off of yourself and you just try to help other people get what they want, you don't even have to worry about it because you're definitely going to get what you want.
And now your books. You came up with a unique tag for your books so that people are going to remember the F It books. The F-Ups, the F-It, the F-ing. So the first one, the F-Ups. How did you think of that? Did you think that yourself? Or
did not.
Like...
I wish I could say I did. The title of that book was originally The 10 Biggest Mistakes Franchise Owners Make That Could Cost Them Thousands. And a friend of mine, Rick Butts from Colorado, who was a huge speaker, and I had taken a program with Rich, and he and I became friends. And I sent him my book to see if he would read it and write me a little blurb that I could put on the back of the book or in the cover or something. And he was reading the book, and he just called me, and he's like, "Gene, the name of your book is F-Ups." And my first thought was, that's a little offensive. But he's like, "You know what? When..." It's a name that will attract people. And it's really funny. Whenever I go someplace, I've been at a couple different author fairs, and I was at a business. I was a sponsor for a business, so I had a big sign up there. And the big sign just says, the biggest thing you see from across the room is F-ups. And it's really funny because people will walk up, and they will stand back, and they will just look at it, like they're going to try to figure it out to start with. And I was at an author fair at the library, and a woman stopped by my table, and she said, "My husband was here," and she said, "He called me to come on down," and she said, "Well, who's down there?" And he says, "I don't know who's here, but Jean Kuhn's here with her book, F-Ups." Now, I didn't know the guy, but you know what? He remembered my name, he remembered the title of my book, and he called his wife to come down and see it. That's all I
nice.
Care about.
That's what it's all about. And so
exactly.
Pretty cool. And now to brand your different books with that as well. Because as you say, you're standing in a room. If I see that sign, I'm going to amble over there to see what the heck that sign is and who's putting up a sign with F-ups.
Right. And do you think it's going to be this? Yeah.
And you think it's
going to
be
woman?
Like something bad. Yeah. You don't think it's like a woman. You think something's maybe a kid or something.
Right.
So franchisee screw-ups that can cost you thousands.
Right.
And then your other one, F It, the 30-day fix-it workbook for small business owners not making enough money. 30 days, that's pretty nice.
You know, that is based on Earl Nightingale's book, The Strangest Secret. And a friend of mine had sent me that book. I was having some issues with my youngest son. And the day I asked him to leave the house, I was cleaning up his room, packing his stuff up, and I came across that book she had sent him. And I just stopped, and I read the book. And that book was so powerful for me at that time because it was really kind of a low part in my life right there. You know, I just asked my 21-year-old son to leave the house because he's really just behaving badly, and I'm not going to enable that.
Yes.
So... that book spoke volumes to me. And when Earl Nightingale in there talks about the fact that he's like, if you don't believe this, do your own 30-day test. So what I did is I took Earl Nightingale's book, The Strangest Secret, and I wrote a workbook for 30 days, 30 days of exercises to do to get exactly what you want. Because in the book, The Strangest Secret, he says our thoughts, we become what we think about. So what are you thinking about for 30 days? So, and that was
and that's 50 to 60,000 thoughts a day for 30 days.
Well, you have to concentrate on the number one thing. What do you want for 30 days? I actually put a group, the first group I put through there was one of the women in the group was another chocolate franchisee that I know. And she had actually lost a franchise. She had sold a franchise in another state. And the guy who bought her franchise, it was in a mall, he had in 2 months stopped paying the rent and moved the business out of the mall. So now when you have a mall lease, if you stop paying it until that lease is over, officially over, it reverts back to the people who had that lease before.
Mm-hmm.
So she now is stuck with the lease on this business she no longer has in another state. So she needed an extra $6,000 a month to pay this lease. So she took this program, and she actually was probably the best student ever. She did the work every single day. At the end of 30 days, on day like 28, she had attracted $60,000 that she did not have. She was completely struggling, negative bank accounts every single day, worrying about how she was going to pay this $6,000 every single month, and at the end of 30 days had $60,000.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just, our minds are so incredibly powerful.
Wow. And if you have the right coach working with you, you can turn that around. Because your coach can also help you keep the proper mindset while you're turning
right.
it around.
Well, that's really funny because that you say that, because after she finished this course, she did kind of stop. And it's really funny because you can see that the progress stopped too. Do you know what I'm saying? That she did not continue on with the progress. And I know why she stopped. She stopped because that scared her. To think that she could actually manifest that in 30 days, that is really scary when you stop and think about it.
That's very powerful. And then when you don't do it, you're like, that was just a lucky break.
Right.
And then you go back to where your mindset was before.
Right.
And so you did something as well, pretty smart. I didn't think Gene Kuhn was that uncommon a name, but you were able to get that as a website. And so now you don't have to have anyone memorize business names or slogans or logos or mottos or anything like
right.
that. Just Gene Kuhn, KUHN.com, right? J-E-A-N.
Yeah.
That's where you could trick people because there's a few ways to spell Gene, but JeanKuhn.com, right?
Right. How easy
right.
is that?
How easy, and it's kind of something, geez, if I had kids, I would buy their domain name if I could. In the future, owning your name as a domain name should be a standard for anyone who wants to go into business. So
right.
that's a great thing. And then I saw today on Facebook you have a great SEO person that helps people find you, another way for you to do your marketing and advertising. And that's so important. I know I always get a big kick when I search terms and I find my page on page one. It's like, woohoo, look at me, page one, out of, 98,000 byte hits or whatever. Like, woohoo, look at me. And so it's so important to have that SEO website
right.
where people who mostly – not to brag about yourself, but where people who are struggling in your area or in the country are typing in, how do I earn more business with a franchise, or those type of challenges that people have. And that's where the SEO work is figuring out what challenges people are Googling and then get that in there so they find you. And so kudos for hiring a good SEO guy, because in the end, that's what really does help the people with the problems find the people with the solutions.
Right. Yeah, I've been surprised because I actually have had several people recently contact me about speaking, and I've never heard of them. So the only, and they're all coming through my website. So I don't know what he's done. I don't care what he's done. People are finding me, and that's all I care about.
I find that so fascinating and cool when I have people from all over the world will email me, oh, I found your website, because Napoleon Hill, he's popular all over the world, what I write
right.
about. So, oh, I found your website, and you're... And I'm thinking, wow, you know, I'm sitting in my track pants and my T-shirt writing about this, and some guy in a country I didn't even know existed is writing me. And
right.
so just another way to for people to find you. And what a valuable service. There's so many franchisees, small business owners, retailers that they're working their life away. And
right.
they're letting a few dollars here and a few dollars there slip between their fingers because they don't have time to think about it because they're so busy working at their job. And so if someone could get them the lifestyle that they thought they were going to have when they became a small business owner, more money and more time, you could save marriages, businesses, families. You can save a lot of people by helping them make those changes.
Right, and if people realized, I think that they realized that it could happen so much faster if they just got the help that they need. When I decided I wanted to be a coach, I knew I could figure this out on my own. I've been self-employed for 28 years. I could figure this out on my own. How long was it going to take me?
Right.
So the first thing I did is I hired a coach. And when I need to go to that next level, the very first thing I do is I find the coach that I think is going to take me to that next level.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's what people need to learn if these small
right.
business people that are listening or franchise owners that are listening, find a coach who can help you look at things in a different way so you can get your life back and put
right.
more money in your pocket. So jeankuhn.com, JeanKuhn.com. And thank you so much for your time today, Jean, of all coaches, small business coaches I love the most because they have the potential to really change businesses, families, communities, because so many people are small business owners that don't have enough money in their pocket and they're working night and day on their business. And that causes them to have to neglect a lot of other areas of their life. So
right.
I really appreciate what you do. Continue the great work. And the idea of the books, the F-Up books and the F-It and the F-ing books, wow, what a genius marketing idea. And again, something that people will remember you by. They'll come search you out whenever there's a sign up with it. And so continue good luck with your books.
Thank you so much. It was so fun being here and talking to you today.
Thanks so much, Jean. Have yourself an amazing day, and
and
an amazing 2014. And we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Okay. Bye bye.